It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Beautiful people, unknown preacher, LA, your boy Lonzo and Tatiana. How are you, T?
I'm okay. Mike and I are at a professional event today. He's, you know, he's always in tow whenever I do these business travels. And yeah, he's been a little more lively today than usual.
Hey, Micah, you seem quiet now.
He got this milk in his mouth, but I feel like now that he's walking, he just is a little more intense. He's like, let me roam around. He's going to be all vocals. He's on the stage doing the panel. And he, I'm like, God.
he heard you.
Yeah.
That's exactly
are you trying to, you responding?
What's up, man? Be quiet now.
Yeah. Don't know
hey, look, your boy. Well, I said the podcast of your boy nominated for the PLA Christian Podcast Award.
Whoa! Yay!
That's a big deal. Right?
Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, it's everyone.
So when did this nomination come through? When are the awards? How do we vote? All the information. Okay.
So, I thought about this board this weekend and created this board to nominate myself for the award.
What? Wait.
Huh? I'm playing, man. There is no board. But you were so excited.
You conned me?
I did.
Why would you do this?
I just had to. Man.
Why would you do this? I'm not supporting you no more. I'm not going to be no supportive friend no more. Next time you tell me some good news, I'm going to say bye, humbug. Yeah. No more.
That would be great, though, wouldn't it?
Wow. I cannot believe you. Shame. Shame on you. It's
that's
not even April Fool's.
Yeah, well, that's bad for everyone calling and texting me, telling me that you were right about our debate about Dr. Robbie last week.
Because I was right.
No.
Sir, I was very right. Like, it was, yes, I was very right. You chose a poor stance. It was a heel that you shouldn't have chosen to die on. Yeah, stay off that heel next time.
No. I'm a backpedal because you're going to say I ambush you, so I'm not going to bring it up anymore. Yeah.
Now I'm curious. What, you got something to say? What?
No, because last week you told me I ambush you. We didn't talk about that.
You do ambush me. You enjoy ambushing me.
We didn't talk about it. How long are y'all going to be on business?
Until tomorrow. Let me say something. Yes. So the listeners, I don't think know this, but the last relationship that I was in was somebody that I met through work, and we had worked together for a couple of years at different organizations. And so every now and again, I might be at a professional event and this person is present. That has happened this occasion. This person usually, now, if I had looked at the agenda ahead of time, I would have seen that, but I'm not gonna lie. It was like a 5-page. I didn't look through the whole booklet. I only looked to see what time I was on the agenda. If I had looked, I would have seen that ahead of time, then I wouldn't have been surprised. But this person usually comes into events, like, just only for the part that they're on, and then leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting that they were there in the morning, like, from the beginning of the event. That's very unusual. And then after their part, stayed until the end of the day. And then I overheard somebody asking if he was going to be here tomorrow and was like, I'm going to try to come for the blank part, which is my part.
He said it loud enough so you could hear?
I wasn't very far away.
Oh, yeah.
This is the work. This is the... So when I went in the morning and I was at a certain, we were at tables. And actually, I'm going to say this part on air too, because I told you this in a text. I was sitting next to a lady who was eating like a sausage biscuit sandwich, and Micah was trying to reach at it with, and I was like, no, he does not need any of that sandwich. Like, no, it's your half eaten sandwich, strange lady. And she's gonna take a piece and hand it to him anyway. So I was upset. And he was like reaching like trying to get in her lap and eat her sandwich or whatever. And she was like, if it's okay with your mom. I said, no, it's actually not. And I got up and left the table and walked away. So then I was sitting out like in the like foyer area when he came in. And so he ended up sitting in the seat that I had been sitting in. And so, and didn't know that. And when I came back in, there were no seats at any other table, so we were also sitting right next to each. So I had to sit in the empty seat next to him, which was actually, he was in my seat in the first place. So we were sitting next to each other. So when this person came up and asked, I was not very far away. I was still standing close to the table. I was like maybe 2 feet away.
Yeah. It sounds like he definitely wanted you to hear it.
And he mentioned my organization while he was on his panel.
What you say now?
He mentioned my organization while he was on his panel.
Yeah.
Don't you know that we're not cool?
So what you do is you act like he doesn't exist.
He's already done that. Well, I mean, to a degree, like, not that he doesn't exist. I have to be cordial. Like, people at the table were trying to have group conversation and like so awkward. People don't know. And so this one lady was getting on me because I do not like sweet tea. I don't like tea at all. And was getting on me and said, I know. And they brought that up. But anyway. And so when he came and sat at our table, the lady was like, you might not want to sit there because you don't want to sit next to this person who doesn't like sweet tea. She from Chicago. She don't like sweet tea. And he was like, oh, well, we can work on that. Or something like that. So like the table is trying to have group conversation. I can't make it obvious that I have beef with this person.
Yeah.
So, to a degree, so
what was your response?
I think I just said, like, no, I'm a no on the tea or something like that. Like, but there were other moments, like, besides that. But it's just, like, I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a never-ending scenario. Because we would just work. That's how we met. Don't poop where you eat, people.
Well, you know, a wise guy said that a long time ago.
He's talking about himself, listeners. In case anybody was not clear on that.
Oh, God.
The way you just stroke your own ego is just...
Hey, somebody got to do it sometime, man.
No, no one has to do it. We're okay.
No, but it tears... Speaking of egos, it tears us up. Man, I can tell you that. To see that you're not being responsive, that's tearing them up.
How about don't fumble the ball? I mean, you don't have to worry about things like this.
Yeah.
How about that? How about all of this is your own fault and of your own making because of your behavior? Like, we either could have never dated in the first place or been happily ever after, but neither of those two routes happen all because of your own decisions. So, how about that? How about just sit with that?
Yeah, that's logical, very logical. But matters of the heart are rarely logical, right? And what's up with this person trying to give Michael some recycled sausage biscuit?
What is wrong with you, lady? Like, why would you give my child, if it's your own child, sure they can have a piece of your partially eaten sandwich. Some other person's child that you don't even know? Keep your partially eaten sandwich to yourself. Then, I was so upset. And then I was like, yeah, you can't hold him. And I let people hold Micah, but you have actually your privileges. You don't get any privileges because I don't like your behavior. Like, that upset me. Then when she pulled out, like some Coke or something and was like, he seems thirsty. If you try to give my child that Coke, we gonna start fighting.
Wow.
Okay, let me not say that on a Christian show. We was not going to start fighting.
But we they know you're not. You didn't mean that.
But we was going to have a problem.
Yeah, she crossed all.
Well, we already have a problem.
Yeah, she crossed
all. Let me say this too. Am I talking too much about my day?
No, I'm pretty sure the listeners are going to, especially about old boy, You know,
so
they definitely.
Well, because I was going to say, so then later on in the conversation, the lady goes, oh man, I forgot my vape in my room. And I'm like, and so you vape? So is your vape juice on this parchment eating sandwich that you are offering to my 1-year-old child? Like, oh my gosh. And I'm just like, let me get these irrational thoughts out of my head. But I'm just like, that just made me even more mad.
Yeah.
Don't give my child your partially eaten biscuits.
I don't know. I think I would have had to process that for a minute. Like, wow, I can't believe this is happening.
For a moment, I was just like fuming. And then when she kept reaching for me, I was like, lady, like, stop. No, he has. Actually, I told her no beforehand. Then when she did it again, I was like, lady, I was like, he has his own snacks. Because at first she tried to give him some. I have a banana. No, he does not need any of your banana. She said, does he like banana? I said, yes, he does like banana, but he cannot have any of your banana. And wow. So like, wow. Why would you think if I didn't want him to have your banana, which was not unpeeled, that I would want him to have your partially eaten sausage biscuit sandwich? And I was like, no, like he doesn't eat. And she did it anyway. And I'm like, oh, okay, you want me to pop off up in here? Like, it just put me in a mood and I had to dismiss myself for a little while and come back. But then when I came back, my ex is sitting at the table. Yay.
Yeah, you got it on both ends, you know.
Yeah. It was a day. It's been a day.
But you know, like, so there's, how do I put it? There are like rules, like when it comes to giving or trying to give a child food, right?
One would think. I just really feel like the only person who can be eating a sandwich and then offer my child some is like my mom or my sister or me. Nobody else.
Well, let me ask you this. So the first part is you ask the parent, right? That's like when people come in my office and they bring their kids and I keep a candy dish on my desk. And I say, is it okay if he or she has some candy? So the first thing she should have said was, can he have this? And the second thing is, well, I probably would have said, I'm going to cut the part that I put my mouth on off. Like, did she even try that part? Like, take a knife.
No.
Yeah, see that part. Yeah.
I'm just beyond. I had an issue with her for the rest of the day. I really did. I'm not going to be over this.
I wouldn't get up. I would really be just puzzled. I don't know if I would get upset because I would be like trying to process, like, because she's trying to do something in her mind. Like, she's trying to give him something. He wanted it.
So, it's not sanitary.
I know, but some people.
That's my issue with a lot of this. Part of my issue with this is that it is unsanitary. You're over here breaking something off with your hand. When is the last time you washed your hands?
Yeah.
I actually just was watching. I told you that I wanted to watch the Ball Brothers because it's on Tubi, that like improv show. And one of the scenes, they ask these questions, and people from the audience can like answer the question. They come up on stage, they do a whole thing. And one guy gets up there and says, like, he doesn't wash his hands. Like, he thinks that people wash their hands way too much, and he doesn't wash his hands. He doesn't think you need to wash your hands or leave the bathroom, all of this kind of stuff. How do I know that you don't got that philosophy, lady?
Yeah.
You over here, it's a partially eaten sandwich that you are now touching with your hands. I don't know where your hands have been. And thirdly, I told you that I did not want him to have any of those things, and you did not ask me, and I still told you no, even though you didn't ask. So yeah, I'm upset. I'm not just puzzled. No. Are you crazy? It's not okay to get people your partially eaten food.
Well, and it's a child. To me, you should be checking with parent, with mom or dad. I mean, that's the first line of disrespect. But I know some people believe two things, like to build up that immune system. Yeah, it's probably good to have some germs. And then some people believe, hey, as long as you pray over it. But okay. I think that you're supposed to be as smart as possible and as... when you talk about something like that, no.
I feel like his immune system does get built up because, like, for instance, he's walking around. I was letting him walk around, like, at the, you know, convention center or whatever, like, the meeting space. And a lot of people wouldn't let their, like, one-year-old walk around on the floor in the space, and he's probably going to be touching the floor or whatever. And I'm just like, eh, I let him walk around. His immune system will be fine. He doesn't need your partially eaten food, is my point.
Now,
no. And I saw a piece of hair on that banana, too.
Now, here's the kicker. Has old boy tried to, like, interact with Micah?
Yes.
I knew that. I shouldn't even have asked.
Yeah, the last time that we crossed paths in a setting, which was back in July, was the first time that he saw Micah, you know, and so he was like, wait a minute, like, who is this? He tried to talk to me, and I was like, keeping it short, and I walked away, and I didn't say anything about the fact that I'm holding a baby that didn't exist when we were dating. And he's like, who is this? And I'm like, well, this is my son, Micah. And he reached out and tried to touch, and I said, do not touch my baby.
Oh, you said that? Wow.
I did last time. It was a knee-jerk reaction. A mutual friend was like, that probably really hurt his feelings. And I was like, it didn't even, I wasn't trying to be hurtful. It was my first instinct. Like, we broke up. It didn't end well. Don't touch my child. I wasn't trying to be hurtful. But so this time, I think he probably remembered that. He was still talking to him, but at least he didn't try to hold him or anything.
Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25
back. I was basically just saying I wasn't trying to be hurtful. It's just that, like, the relationship didn't end well. Like, I don't want you to touch my child. Like, we're not doing this. Like, so it's kind of like if you beefing with my best friend, like, I'm beefing with you too. So, like, if I'm beefing with you, my son is also beefing with you. Like, stop trying to be cool with my son. Like, so this time he didn't at least try to hold him or anything, but he was making googly eyes at him. He was, like, trying to get him to laugh. He was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's trying hard.
Yeah.
And some people were resolved. They want to be forgiven more than anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, huh?
I'm not gonna forgive. I'm sorry, I can't.
Come on, T. We talked about forgiveness, man.
We did. There are things that I will forgive. There are people that I will forgive. What does forgiveness look like exactly? Because maybe I can forgive. Tell me a little bit more.
So you acknowledge when someone. See, especially when they're asking for forgiveness.
He didn't ask. He didn't ask me to forgive him.
I know, but I guess the point I was getting at is maybe he's trying to break the ice in a way where y'all can, it'll spark conversation, and then y'all can talk about things. Because y'all never had that closure, right?
We had a whole conversation. I told you about it months after.
I know, but that really wasn't it was more of a, I'm explaining myself, but not, hey, this is closure. I'm moving on. We're, you know, live your best life. You do you. We're good. You know what I'm saying?
We're not good. I don't wish anything, you know, negative on him, but we're not good.
I mean, but you showing, I guess, because, like, you said, don't touch my baby. It's one thing to be, like, polite and kind of ignore that person. I mean, I still think that's part. Forgiveness can look like that, but the don't put your hands on my child part, that doesn't look like forgiveness.
You want me to let him be cool with my
son? No. It's the way, like you said, it was a knee-jerk reaction, but it sounds like there was a tone to it. And, I mean, if
I just said, don't touch my baby.
I mean, I don't know.
This is also the thing. This is the other thing of it. There have been times when, this is getting a little much, but I was going to say, there have been times where we had disagreements and like, and it was like, okay, like, let's not date, but let's be friendly or friends or whatever. And then it just ends up getting back to dating again. So it's just like, I don't want to even be cool.
So you're scared that you can't control yourself, basically. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. That's what it sounds like.
I probably couldn't. I'm not going to lie.
See?
I probably couldn't. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah. So that means you're going to have some... you're going to have to grow that inner strength and just...
He wouldn't be able to control himself either.
But he don't have to.
How does me just not fooling with you not be being strong?
No, but it sounds like you're saying I can't set boundaries without bitterness. That's what I'm hearing.
Boundaries without bitterness. And then not have it go back to being a romantic thing?
Yeah.
No, it's not going to work. It's not going to work at all.
See, that's what I'm saying. So that's
not gonna work.
Strength that you're going to have to work on.
How can you, if you like had a life circumstance get in the way, it's like it's unrequited love. If you have an unrequited love, I don't think that there is a way to then be in each other's lives and not try to requite it. Like,
I think there is. There's a
no
strength associated with it.
I don't think so. I think you have to no longer. I think you have to no longer want them. I think that's the only way that it can work. If you still want each other, which I know that we do.
Your bitterness now is making you want him. Is that what you're saying?
My bitterness is making me want him.
Not want him.
Making me not want him.
You're saying that because
I'm saying that if we get to a place where we're able to communicate and bring each other's lives, it's not going to be like that we can do that and not have it be like, how can you be next to, like, let's play this out. Let's play this out. Let's say that, okay, this is going to be a crazy hypothetical. Uh-huh. Let's say that you find out that Sanja actually was married before y'all got married, and so your marriage is not legal. All the years that you all had together, your marriage is not legal. It was never known. Like, it was a whole thing. It was not communicated to you. And so now you're still in love with each other. That's still your life mate, but there is now a barrier to you being together. Like, for some reason, that's not going to be a resolved situation. It's just like, now something outside of you two's control has made it so that you're no longer able to be together, but you still have those feelings. You feel like you could be around each other and not fall back into what it felt to fall back into the routine of being a husband and a wife.
I don't know if that's a good example though, because she's been with me all these years, and the first guy, even though on paper, but we've been together, lived together. You know, he out of luck. I mean, I can get over that, but. But to your point, I mean, if it's a situation where you know you can no longer be together, I think that
that's the only example I could think of that would be outside of you two's control that would rip you apart.
I got you. So I'm a consequence guy. So I guess you just keep thinking about, I already know that this road is going to lead to A, B, and C, so I can't entertain that, but we have healthy boundaries. I'm cordial.
You're not answering my question. I'm talking about, could you, if there was a reason why you could no longer, you could be around each other and not fall back into the routine of what your relationship looked like?
Yes,
I don't believe you. There's gonna be at some all. Space. I don't believe you at all.
I've been there.
Just like you just said, y'all been living together in the same house, had all of these memories together. You have two children together. I don't believe you at all. I think you would absolutely go back to acting like husband and wife.
So again, there's a space. You're gonna need a little bit of space. Y'all have had that. Then
I'm still I'm talking about you. You're still talking about me.
I know, but I'm just telling
trying
you
to say I don't believe you could do this.
I can.
No, you can't.
I really can.
Lie.
Because with healthy boundaries, like because for one, you and I had talked about this before. My definition of love is something that's totally different. Loving someone so much that if they're happy with or without you, whatever makes them the happiest, if I really truly love someone like I'll say I do, and they say I'm happier with this person, or
but that's not the situation. That's not what I described to you. I described that you two still want each other, but there's an outside situation that is impeding that. You still want her. She still wants you. You're now trying to be around each other and be cordial and all of that. And you think you can do that without floating back towards one another.
Yeah.
It's not that she left you and said, I don't want to be with you.
So you're trying to tell me that I need to be bitter with this person to avoid that slippery slope. I mean, that's
I'm
what
not
I
just saying that you need to be bitter, but I'm saying
you really are, though.
I'm not saying I'm saying that we are currently not in each other's lives, and I'm keeping it that way.
And I'm good with it. But see, what I'm saying is you don't have to have like bitterness towards them, animosity. Get your hands off my child.
Why am I going to let you be cool with my child?
I didn't say he had to be
cool. That's crazy. First of all, I didn't say it like the way that get your hands off my child. I said, don't touch my son. Do not touch my baby. Don't touch my baby.
That's still a little rough, but
I think it's reasonable.
So
I would absolutely not be trying to, if the roles were reversed and there was somebody that I knew that I was on the outs with, I'm not going to be trying to play with their child.
I'm not going to be trying to hold their child. Yeah.
It's not appropriate. Like,
he good, you know.
That's not any better.
Yeah, it is. It's like
it's telling not.
You don't need to touch my child. He's good.
That's the same. He good is the same as don't touch my baby.
Yeah, but it's delivered differently.
Yeah, it's okay.
I just said, so do you have animosity towards this person?
I don't think that I have animosity. I believe that animosity implies that I don't wish you well, that I would like be happy if something negative happened to you, that I wouldn't want good things happen in your life. I want you to be happy. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be successful. I want you to be thriving. I just want you to stay away from me.
Okay. All right, so it sounds like maybe you have forgiven them. I mean, when you ask what forgiveness looks like, and to me, that's like having these bitter feelings. You don't wish them well. You want retaliation, you know.
I literally told him during that last conversation, like I quoted Whitney Houston. I said, I wish you joy and happiness, and above all else, I wish you love. Like, I don't want anything. Huh?
Boy, you had to just nothing what? To you.
What?
The drama.
How's that drama?
Whitney. You don't quote a Whitney Houston song.
I thought that it was the best way to describe it. Like, I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I want you to have a good life. I just want you to stay away from me because if you don't, I already know what's gonna happen.
No, okay, we're good. It sounds like you probably have forgiven him, per se.
Okay. So what is forgiveness?
I mean, just letting go. Like,
I'm letting go.
Does he anger you when you see him? Do you?
No.
Yeah, see, that's what, yeah.
No, I'm not angry. I'm angry about this lady in the sandwich. I am angry about him.
Oh, man. I know. Well, we're at that 30-minute mark. So, any final words before I talk about our guests?
Don't tear me up, listeners, about this.
I can't wait to hear from some people, but
oh my
God. I don't think they're going to tear you up.
Okay, good.
Hey, what's your balance out anyway? Everybody telling me how right you were last week.
No, we don't need to balance out. Not about, no.
You can fumble the ball here and there.
Well, let's debate about something that I have a bad opinion on then. not right now. Another time.
No, you're good. Honestly, I don't hear anything wrong with what you said. Now that you put it that way.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's hear about the guest.
So, Mona Lisa Griffin, she's an author, she's an advocate, she's done so many things. She's a public speaker, she's a founder of nonprofit. She is one of those people who's so transparent. She talks about her upbringing, her struggles, and she's just very honest about that, and people just really gravitate towards her. We've been trying to make this work for a while because she's super busy. So glad to have her on, man. I think you're going to really like this interview.
I like that description of the person, so I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. And hey, that's the same thing that I hear about you. That's why people gravitate towards T.
Yay.
So we appreciate
I wish you could play a clip of that Mona Lisa song by Lil Wayne and is it Lil Wayne and Kendrick? Yeah.
I don't know. I never heard that song.
Okay. I like that song. Mona Lisa, gotcha. Mona Lisa.
Never heard that. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, T, as always, man, you really, I appreciate your openness, but it's always a pleasure for us to come on here and converse. As we say in my neighborhood, conversate. Until next time, beautiful people, when we come back, Mona Lisa Griffin.
So TapIn is a events ticketing / artist promoting platform. But there's three features that come with TapIn, which is really awesome. One, we make it easy to discover events that are in your local area. Also, for artists who are, you know, event planners or organizers who want to sell tickets to their events, we make sure that you keep 100% of your ticket sales. Number two, we wanted to make sure that artists can build a community around themselves and their events. And then number three, a lot of times you'll hear an artist say, visit my website, visit my portfolio, take this QR code. Well, we wanted to make it easy and actually add those portfolios and websites into the app so that it's all in one place. Mm-hmm. So consider it like almost like a one-stop shop for artists and event organizers and planners. Is available to download and use. It is on both Apple Store and Google Play Store.
All right, beautiful people, we are back. And today's conversation is one I've been looking forward to because we're not just talking about success, we're talking about healing and what it really means to break cycles that many people don't even realize they're trapped in. So our guest today is a speaker, an author, and the founder of Cycle Breakers Global Movement, an initiative dedicated to helping people identify, confront, and ultimately heal generational patterns rooted in trauma and dysfunction. And her work has reached audiences on a national and international level, including 2-time Square Billboard features. excuse me. She's made her television debut, has upcoming documentaries on the way, and continues to expand her global impact, most recently with a London-based radio platform through her teaching platform, Life Unmothered. And she delivers powerful research-informed tools that help people reclaim their voice, identity, and legacy. Welcome to the Unknown Preacher LA, y'all. Mona Lisa Griffin. How are you?
Hey, everyone. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, man, we're doing well. It's just so, so great to have you on.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. And I want to start here because cycle breaking, that sounds so powerful. But for a lot of people, it's kind of abstract, for lack of better words. So what does cycle breaking actually mean in real everyday terms? And what led you to personally get into this work?
Yes, absolutely. So a cycle breaker to me is what society calls a black sheep. Mm. The one in a family that does not fit in. The one in a family that is questioning the family system and unit. The one that's just breaking the silence completely. So that is who I'm considering a cycle breaker, because they don't just sit in familiarity and be comfortable with it, because it's traditionalized or passed down.
Yeah.
We talk about it, you know, and so that is what cycle breaker means to me, because I'm one of those.
Yeah.
And the reason why I started this movement is because of my own situation. And I didn't know that I carry generational patterns, because I let people know we are not generationally cursed. We are generationally patterned. We've been passed down patterns unbeknownst and unknown to us, and that we carry in silence to the next generation. And so I didn't know that I had patterns and that was dysfunctional and traumatic until I started seeing my child repeat some of the same things that I did, that led me to question, okay, if some things I told myself that I would not carry along when I became an adult, why is my child repeating some of the things that I did? But unbeknownst to me, that I was passed on some traumatic patterns. So that's why I stopped it. I became the interrupter of the patterns, and I learned what I was holding so that I can start to break a cycle, because I have two grandchildren and I refuse to allow them to heal from what I'm healing from in my adult age.
Beautiful definition and explanation. I really, really appreciate that. And I like how you said we're not generationally cursed. Yes. It's the patterns, because it is true. Whatever upbringing we experience, that's our new norm, right? We, to us, is norm. Yep. And normal. And so to other people, it may seem foreign, but that's just everyday life for us. But, and I love with you, because you truly are a trailblazer, by the way. But what moment, walk us through that moment when you looked at your life and said, okay, this pattern stops with me.
Yes. So it was a moment where I kind of like, because I'm going to try to keep it censored, because I know certain things can trigger individuals, but I am our survivor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can say that.
You can.
And I try to unalive myself. And so, and I'm a survivor of that. Yeah. And so I knew something wasn't right, but I felt like that kind of was like my only escape, because I didn't know what was going on with me. Not understanding that throughout the years of being raised in a traumatic system, that I developed PTSD. And a lot of people don't realize, just trying to survive an everyday situation, you develop PTSD. And so I had no clue what was going on within myself. I just knew that I wanted the pain to stop. But I also knew that I couldn't speak, because I had a family image to uphold. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot of people, is that they're suffering in silence because of the family image that they have to uphold. You come from a family that is very successful. They have a lot of accomplishments. They achieved a lot in life. But at the same time, you are struggling, you are drowning in depression and anxiety and don't have a clue where it's coming from, but yet you have to smile for society. And so that was my biggest thing, was like, I had to live in my truth. Like, what was my truth? And my truth was that I was raised in a family system in a unit that was dysfunctional. And I had to carry trauma in silence and not speak about it and keep sweeping it under the rug. And it just got worse for me every day. And I tell people, I was dying inside holding secrets. Mm.
Thank you for sharing that. And let me ask you, were you going to say something else?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm just sitting here listening to you and I'm thinking about your family. Like, how did they take when you said, okay, I'm breaking it now. This pattern stops with me. How did the family receive that?
Well, the family, of course, they were upset, you know, when I first started talking about the family system. They thought that I was telling the family business and, mm-hmm. you know, you shouldn't talk about this. But like I told them, this is what was killing me inside. So I have to talk about it. Now, mm-hmm. mind you, it wasn't receptive, and I ended up completely just disconnecting from that family system unit completely, because they never would understand the journey that God had me on. Mm. And so I had to walk away, and I've been disconnected for 15 years. And so I know what it's like for, and I call it cycle breakers. I know what it's like for cycle breakers that say enough is enough. And they will never, the family system and unit will never understand. We have to, in order for us to grow, you have to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
You have to be criticized and sometimes even lied on, but you have to stand in your truth. And my truth was that my family system and unit was broken. It was full of pain. And so, yeah, so I had to walk away, because sometimes you cannot heal in the same place that keeps you broken.
Amen. Amen to that. I know in your book, you used the phrase reclaiming your voice and identity. So how does trauma distort identity, and what does reclaiming it actually look like?
Mm-hmm. So trauma distorts our identity. First of all we know is trauma, because we were born into it. We don't know anything other than dysfunction, and we made that normal in order to survive. And so sometimes a person may not never know what healthy is, because they're still in a system surviving.
Yeah.
And so for me, reclaiming my voice was that I had to go against the system. I had to really go against the system to let people know that this is what's killing a lot of the generation. This is what's killing us, because we never learned how to regulate our emotions. And so I truly believe in the scripture where God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Mm. I truly believe that trauma is what's killing us.
Yeah.
This is what's allowing us to perish from generation to generation, because we don't know what we carry. And what we carry is devastating. Yeah. It's painful, you know, and it will lead a lot of people. That's, to me, I just truly believe, and this is my opinion and what I see, because like I tell people, I had to be my first example before I can even speak to the world. So I know what it's like. And so carrying traumatic pains and being traumatized, this is what leads to the jail system. This is what leads to mental institutions, because nobody has ever told us that we were being raised in trauma.
Hey, man, you actually said something that's just so powerful. I'm just sitting here listening to you. And when you talked about separating from your family, because mm-hmm. while you were talking, I was thinking about the people who they love their family so much. And it's like, they relive those triggers are repeated over and over again because they just can't separate. And we can even look at this from a scripture perspective, and Abraham, you know, God called him to leave his country and his people and his father and household. And it wasn't just about relocation. It was like a total break from those the culture and those generational parent patterns you just talked about. So I just I'm glad you said that, because I hope it gives the listener who's going through this or who's been through it the courage to really assess their life and say, do I need to really break from that? Because I've had friends who've gone through some really traumatic experiences, and they say family is family. And so thank you for empowering people through your voice and your own experience. And so for someone listening right now who knows they have a lot of work, a lot of hurdles to get over, what are 2 to 3 practical steps that they can take right now?
Right. So for number one, F society. And I am so serious. I don't live by what society tells me, because society will tell you to stay in something dysfunctional because it is your family.
Yeah.
And so I don't live by the rules of society at all. So that's number one, because they will tell you, they will call you crazy. They will say that you are in a cult. They will tell you, you know, lie on you because of you are putting the disruption to what they already normalized for years. So yeah. I would say to you is to keep going, keep your head up and keep walking, because you are not alone on this journey. A lot of people think that they are alone because they don't talk about it. And this is one reason why I created the Cycle Breaker Movement, because I know it's individuals like myself that will never return to the family system, you know, and I know that it's more people out there like me. And so I created this because we are family. Family does not always mean DNA.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So your platform, Life Unmothered, by the way, it's a powerful name. What does that mean, and who is it specifically for? Talk about that.
Yes, absolutely. So I created Life Unmothered because I was raised by a single parent. And so that was my main foundation, was my mother, which is majority of all of our main foundation is our mother. So a lot of our pain got trickled down through her. And even men too suffer mother wounds. And so that's why Life Unmothered was created, because where healing was hidden. That's what I say. Life Unmothered, where healing was hidden. And it's about tackling our mother wounds. And so, yes, we have father wounds as well. But like I said, majority of the time, we are structured. We are raised. We are with our mother 24/7. That's who we see every day. And so a lot of times we gravitated towards her pain, and she parented us out of a traumatic experience of her own. And so I touch on those areas.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And so is it two per, and if you say we can skip, so our listeners won't hear this, I'll edit it out if you choose, but did you find those challenges with your daughter? Like, am I making sense? Because I often know that if there are struggles with a mother and daughter, then it does trickle down sometimes. Then as a parent, you find yourself, man, my mom did that, you know? I definitely know I found myself saying things that my father said to my son. So am I touching on this or right? Or do you want to skip over this?
No, because I'm an open book. I'm an open book, because I tell people the one part that you are too afraid to talk about is the part that somebody else is waiting for. So I'm an open book. And so when it came to my daughter, like I said, I didn't even realize that I carried the traumatic parent patterns until I was in my late 30s. So my daughter was born when I was 24 years old. And so she got that, you know. But like I said, when she started really repeating what I did, it forced me to kind of pull back and analyze myself, because I'm like, why? If my home, if we say that our home is one of the safest place for our children to be, why do they run away? Yeah. Why do they run from us? And the first thing that we'd say is that, oh, they just want to be grown and do their own thing. No, how about they're trying to escape your brutality? Mm. How about that you maybe are becoming their first bully? You know, and so because parents can be their child's first bully. Wow. And so when I realized that, I had to step back and sit down and talk to my daughter, because my daughter started hating me for the story that she didn't know. And that means that I didn't share my past with her, because I felt like she wasn't there. She didn't need to know. But yeah, she did need to know because of my reactions and actions towards her. Mm-hmm. And so I had to sit down and explain that to her. And not only just that, I had to sit down and give my daughter permission to speak to me, because we raise our children in fear and we feel like that's respect, you know, but we only teaching our children how to sneak and lie. And so I had to allow her to speak her truth to me. And what she told me, I mean, it boiled my stomach up, but it was something that I had to accept because she was telling me her truth. And so yes, to this day, yes, the relationship is not how I want it to be, but we is way better than it was. And yeah, like I told my daughter, I had to drop my mother's trauma and she has to drop mine. And we have to start over and keep being consistent at it until it feels right. And so that's what we do every day. No, it's not perfect, you know, but I'm on her time. I'm on her time. I can't rush her healing. And like I tell my daughter, I can't heal for you, yeah, you know? So, yeah.
I love how transparent you are. And one of the things, the two interactions I've had with you, one thing I've noticed, not just that from other people who know you, like it's easy for you to connect with so many people. And I think it's because you're so real with them. So, but you've taken the message, global, Times Square, TV documentaries. Why do you think the message is resonating across cultures right now?
Because people want to hear. People want to hear somebody else that can resonate with them. Because for a long time, I thought I was alone. And until I started speaking, you know, even when I went out to search for help, there was no help that was like what I was searching for. And it was like people kept like wanting to sugarcoat and make me comfortable. No, I need you to hurt my feelings. Like, tell me the truth, you know. And so this is what I do. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I get backlash from people because, you know, people, well, I didn't live that way, or that's not my story. Okay, that's fine. That's not your story. But guess what? I'm not meant for everybody, and I'm meant for who can resonate with me. That's who I'm meant for. And so I didn't realize so many people resonated with me. And so that just let me know that I am on this crusade to let people know that you can live outside of trauma. You can.
Amen. And you also, like, you don't walk away from the spirituality piece of it, the faith. So tell us, how does faith or the spirituality, how does that play a role in breaking the cycles and healing trauma?
Definitely. Because I use God as my source, right? But I also have another resource. So that's why I tell people, use me as a resource, but use him as your source, you know, because you're going to need strength when you walk this journey, because sometimes you have to begin the journey walking alone until you find your tribe.
Amen.
You know, and so I had to do that. And also I really, really had to lean on God a lot, because it got lonely. It got hard, you know, for me. But at the end of the day, I knew that God sacrificed me from my entire family in order to break the cycle.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that I am the one to be the rebuilder of my bloodline. And so I am on a crusade to pull out, because God said this is a season of release. We are releasing the cycle breakers from the family system because it's time to rebuild for the bloodline.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And when you say it, it sounds like it just sounds so easy to do. Right. But why do you think so many people are failing or hesitant in making that? Because I think the first step is the biggest step. Why do you think they're not taking that first step?
Because they're scared. Yeah. It's fear. You know, fear of what they will say, fear of what they will portray them to be, you know, and you don't want that much pressure on you. So you just rather sit in your pain, sit in what triggers you over and over again, rather than to just live in your truth. You know, this is my truth. This is, you know, this is what's killing me. This is what, you know, that was leading me to the bottle, the alcohol, the workaholic, the overachieving. You know, you're burying something, you know, instead of really touching the root. And I tell people, you have to go back to the root. And sometimes the root would take you back 20 and 30 years, but it's still, you have to go back.
Amen. I love all of this. So for someone who's listening right now, what's the one thing you hope they take away from everything you just said?
Right. One thing is that I pray is that you be strong on your journey of rediscovering who you truly are from trauma, because trauma has formed our identity and that's not who you are. So I pray that you can stand strong on this journey and don't let the pain win. The pain does not have to win. You just have to be willing to want to stand in your truth. And we are out here. We cycle breaker movements. We are out here to embrace you along your journey, because it's going to get hard and you're going to need support, you know, and the support is there. So trust and believe. If you see me talking, you know, the support is there.
Amen. Amen.
The support is there. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate all of this. You dropped some nuggets. And before we close, with all our guests, I always give them the mic and I let them talk about whatever they want to. I noticed that you didn't really talk about your book, and I want them to, because it's an easy read. I want them to hear about that and any events, any appearances, anything, because you do a whole lot. You really do. And we've been both with our busy schedules trying to narrow down this interview. So I thank God that we were able to do it. But I'm giving you the floor. Whatever you want to talk about, my sister, the floor is yours.
Okay, absolutely. So I have a book here, and it's called Break the Cycle, How to Heal When You've Been Hurt by Family. It is on Amazon. You can get it if you look up Mona Griffin on Amazon. You will see the book. And I just want to read the second page that in the book to the readers.
Yes.
This book is not a fairy tale. It's not wrapped in perfection, sugar-coated advice, or pretending that healing from family hurt is easy. This is not for the people who grew up feeling safe, seen, or emotionally supported. This is for the ones who were blamed for what they didn't break. It's for the ones who were told to get over it when they never were given the space to process it. It's for you, the ones who feel the in their chest when you still hear the word family. This book is a safe space. This book is a safe space to unpack the hurt, grieve what you didn't receive, and learn how to give yourself what no one else could. It's a guide to set boundaries, name pain, and start your healing, even if you are the first one in your bloodline to do so. If you feel stuck in a cycle of dysfunction, if you were raised in survival mode and never learned peace, if your heart still carries what your mouth never got a chance to say, this is for you. Let this be your reminder that you are not alone, you are not crazy, and it was never your fault. And this is a guide to start your healing journey if you don't even know where to start. And I tell people, once you get this book, don't just read the book, work the book, because this will start to lead you on your healing journey. This a true guide, and this has went nationally. This is global. Yeah. And so I'm grateful that I was obedient to step into my yes to create that book, because this book is full of questions that I wish someone would have asked me when I was in my teenagers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I would have been transparent back then when somebody asked me, I wouldn't be struggling the way that I was up into my 30s. Wow. So, yes.
Beautiful, beautiful words. Anything else going on that you want to spotlight right now?
Oh yeah. So I will. I made a global magazine, a March issue of a global magazine. So Kish Magazine. If you go to kish.com, kishmagazine.com, you will be able to get the magazine, which I'm very, very grateful for that. I will be speaking on a London's radio station at the end of this month, and I'm very excited about that. And I also will be in Paris. I got invited to Paris next year. And so, yes, this is more than just this is, I tell people, this is more than just a moment. This is a full movement.
Amen.
This is a movement. Yes.
I absolutely love everything you're doing, Mona, and I appreciate you truly, truly I do, coming on here, sharing not just your expertise, but really opening your heart, right? Yeah. Because I will say that this is the kind of conversations people don't like to have, but mm-hmm. we absolutely need them, especially in our community. So yes. For everyone listening, if this episode spoke to you, don't just sit on it. Share it with someone who needs it. And I'll say more importantly, you have to do the work.
That's right.
Yeah. So Mona Lisa Griffin, y'all, you always have a place on the Unknown Preacher LA. Mona Lisa, we appreciate you.
Thank you. And if anybody want to reach out to me, you can reach my email at the number two, monalisaspeaks2@gmail.com.
Amen. Thank you, my sister.
Yeah.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. It's the unknown preacher.